everyone, and welcome to Final Fights. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is someone who's back to talk more Star Wars. It's Megan Hoffmeyer.
I'll talk to you about Star Wars every day.
We did this last year.
Yeah.
We did Final Fights, two of them.
I can't believe it was already an entire year.
That's what, in the last year, in our top five most popular episodes, that episode we did, The Battle of Mustafar, that's in our top five most popular. We crushed that one.
Well, we're back to cover the original trilogy, or the prequels again.
Yeah, so we talked about Revenge of the Sith, now we're here to talk about The Phantom Menace. And I gotta tell you, this fight that we're talking about, it takes place during the Battle of Naboo. It's typically called the Duel of the Fates because of the wonderful score by John Williams. How awesome would it be if a choir sang while we were fighting people?
Oh my gosh. How do we arrange that?
It'd be beautiful, right?
I would. I mean, yeah, sure.
The inner nerd in me, though, I remember back in 98 when the trailer came out and I saw that Darth Maul played by Accident Man's Ray Park, Scott Adkins movie.
I mean, excellent.
Wonderful movie. But I always remember when you see the double-sided lightsaber. And I remember the trailer. Everyone just lost their minds. And I was working in a movie theater when this movie was out. And so there's a lot of people walking out with really dejected faces.
Aww.
But other people loved... I had people I worked with that would go sneak in and watch this lightsaber battle over and over and over again. Because it's just so mesmerizing. It's a wonderful scene.
Yeah, it's cool. It's dynamic. It's fast moving, which is exactly what they said they wanted, or George wanted out of this one.
Yeah, you know what's funny? George, he kept using this word. I was watching this behind the scenes documentary, and he's like, I want it to be energized. And so he brought in Ray Park, who knew sword skills already. He was an acrobat. He was an athlete. And Ray Park only thought he was going to be a stuntman on this for a few days and just help people get going. Mm-hmm. And they kept him around as Darth Maul, which makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. His name, Nick Giard.
Yeah, Giard.
Was in charge of stunts for this. And he brought Ray Park in hoping they would cast him fully for the role.
You know, I got to say something about Nick. So he did Count of Monte Cristo. That's one of our Final Fight episodes because there's wonderful fencing in that. And then he went and moved on to, he did The Mummy. He was a stunt coordinator on Notting Hill, which makes me happy.
I saw that.
But he was also the stunt coordinator on Sleepy Hollow, which is one of my favorite Tim Burton movies, and there's some excellent sword fighting in that. And he did stunts on Rob Roy,
yep,
which Liam Neeson's worked on, and that's one of the best sword fights. That's another Final Fights episode, everybody, that you can listen to. So we have a long, and he did Battle of Mustafar. I mean, this guy is all over Final Fights. And what I love is we looked at this article earlier, and during this fight, you have Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then you have Accident Man's Ray Park as
Classic
Darth Maul. But they said that they were moving so fast on this, they were having to overcrank the camera to slow it down a bit because we were so fast. Ewan McGregor said, I'm not joking. It's usually the opposite. They undercranked the camera to speed it up a bit. But we were doing it so fast, they thought no one's going to believe it. So they slowed it down a little bit.
That's crazy. And there were parts that they did in reverse.
It's nuts, right?
You know, I was thinking about it. You and I have both read As You Wish, the book by Carrie Ells about the Princess Bride and the making of it. And I know that they went a whole different direction with the sword fight. And they came up with, and you've got some names of the type of sword fighting they used. And they created a new one for this movie. But it really reminded me of the rigorous training that they went through, both Carrie Ells and Mandy Patinkin, for that movie, and just all of the choreography, how they had to memorize it, and how once they did it, it wasn't enough, and the director wanted them to do it longer and in reverse, and it's just crazy. So it reminded me a lot of that in its own way.
This, you know, it's wild. Remember when I started Final Fights? Because I'm like, this will be fun. We'll have 20-minute episodes. It'll be a little bit easier. But now I'm learning how it's just as hard to prep for these as it is an entire movie.
There's so much information on these.
I mean, there's an entire, you know, watching the behind the scenes footage of Ray Park with a black eye practicing the movements with Ewan McGregor, and they're flying, and Ewan McGregor's just breaking aluminum swords, like lightsabers left and right. They're all bent. And so they had people full time fixing them so that he could keep practicing with it.
Oh, nice. And I also read that all three of the actors, Liam Neeson included, they had to control themselves from saying things like pew, swoosh, swoosh, pew, pew during their acting.
Isn't that awesome?
That's great. It means they really loved it and they were into it.
But one thing I'm really happy about analyzing this fight more is I learned about the different forms of Jedi fighting.
Yeah.
So in this one, I learned that Qui-Gon uses Form 4 or Ataru, A-T-A-R-U, the way of the hawk bat. The aggression form. And so it's like Yoda uses it, Qui-Gon Jinn, And it said this form was not, was also considered not as effective for prolonged combat, as the nature of a Taru could greatly tax the body. And if we watch during the battle on Tatooine, when Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn battle, Qui-Gon jumps into the plane and is plum tucked.
Yeah, he does. He passes out on the floor.
He's like, I don't know who that was, but that sucked. Like he's exhausted. He's sweaty. And we were talking about that during the battle. And not just because Liam Neeson's is 6'4", a big dude. But you watch these movements and it's basically like he's trying to hack a tree in half with every swing. And he has a sledgehammer. I mean, it's very brutal.
It's like he's carrying a broadsword, more like in a medieval film than a lightsaber.
It's just, you could tell that it's exhausting in there. But then we look at Darth Maul, and he uses Form 7, or J-U-Y-O.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses, in many ways, some have described it as a surrender to the Force and to the Chaos, to strike an opponent with such speed and angles of attack that they have difficult countering it. So if you look at the way Darth Maul fights, mm-hmm. he uses Form 7. So, but in surrendering yourself to the Force in such a way, it reduces your ability to resist its effect should the enemy turn the Force against you. Be on your guard.
Well, and there's also the moment in which he pulls a little bit of trickery on Qui-Gon and he ends up stabbing him. And the stunt coordinator who came up with a lot of this, he said in the script, George basically wrote something like difficult, fabulous lightsaber battle. And it was completely left up to Nick to come up with a script for this. He said, where am I even going with this right now?
No, it's fine. Yeah.
He said that, oh, the trickery, it was a very dark side sort of move. It's a dark thing. So he uses a trick and that's how he gets Qui-Gon.
I mean, yeah, he's Darth Maul. He's hate. He's anger. He's pissed. And yeah, I love what you wrote, what you just said there. So he said the script didn't have any description of the fight. It's just a vicious lightsaber fight ensues. And so,
fantastic.
Hey, George, how long do you want this to be? Where does it go? Where does that? And he's like, oh, you got it. And Ray Park said he asked George Lucas, hey, man, can I get the I'm Accident Man's Ray Park? Can I get the motivation?
No, but that was a premonition, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Into the future, he figured he would be.
I'm going to be in the Scott Adkins picture pretty soon.
Amazing.
George Lucas goes, I don't know, man, you're Darth Maul. So Ray Park had to really internalize a lot of this, but he did a lot of the work with Nick to come up with his character.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they did the physical choreography. They like had to get him in the mood of that. And he just said that the DP, David Tattersall, explained how much they worked. Every time they would cut, Ray Park would be there with his double lightsabers, aluminum poles at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would practice with whoever was there. And I think it comes across because you and I have watched, and we're not going to call it out, but we've watched some sword fighting pictures.
Yes.
And the sword fighting looks like they learned it 3 seconds beforehand. And
they're making it up and just, it's, yeah.
The fight choreographer was drunk when they did it.
You have to put intention into these things. There has to be practice. I read that Ewan McGregor was very gung-ho about the whole thing. Ray Park was very skilled already. They had to practice a lot with Liam Neeson because he's such a big guy to make the whole thing fluid with the three of them. But they really made it work through lots and lots of practice.
And there wasn't a lot of hooey in this fight. And
no,
I mean,
there's some wide shots. They're just going at it. And they're doing these flared out arm movements and stabilizing things. It's very fun.
And then it was stylish, but not overly stylish. A lot of the flips. And when Darth Maul takes that hunk of metal and flaps it at the door to open it, I think a lot of the flips and backflips and sidekicks and little sassy back kicks into the face of Obi-Wan, they're intentional.
Yeah,
it wasn't
all have
cute.
A purpose.
There was nothing really cute in this.
No, I think it looks really great. It looks sort of like a ballet. It's a sort of a dance between these fighters going on, which is very visually pleasing.
You know, I read something really interesting. So there is a Reddit theory going around.
Oh.
And I don't know how much of a theory it is, but I like it a lot because it makes sense. So we talked about the duel on Mustafar, which is a wild battle, mm-hmm. and how much work went into that. But it ends with high ground.
Oh, yeah. I saw something about this.
Yeah. And so this Redditor said that, hey, Obi-Wan was in the same position. So you have Darth Maul swacking at him with his lightsaber when he's down there. And Obi-Wan does choreograph looking at that lightsaber, but he does throw himself up, which is a massive amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets himself over Darth Maul, slices Darth Maul in half. It was originally supposed to chop off his head, but Nick was like, hey, man, you might want to come back in one of these. So then they chopped him in half, and he comes back in Clone Wars. He comes back in Solo. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so...
Oh, and fun note. They actually use part of the Duel of the Fates score in Solo.
Ah, that made me so happy. Remember I picked up that person in front of us and ran around with him?
Yeah, that was the best.
I'm just going to say, I worked Comic-Cons for many years, and Ray Park did a bunch of them, and he's a really cool dude. So seeing him come back and be in Solo, and then now that he's doing motion capture for a lot of his fights in the future, follow his Instagram. Dude's cool. But I love that so Ewan flips over him, cuts him in half, but he remembers how much energy that took. And he remembered the only way that could work is for him to jump over.
Mm-hmm.
So when Anakin tries it, he's been there, done that. He knows what he would do. And he knows his Padawan's going to do that, and he lights him up. So it's a nice callback to...
That's interesting.
And to other... So he wrote, every time Obi-Wan replays that duel in his mind, he sees a new outcome. So, like, maybe Maul backs up one foot and it doesn't work. He knows it's a gamble, and he had to gamble on this. And so when they did that fight duel on Mustafar, Anakin didn't have to do that and just saw the outcome because Anakin was so shrouded in hate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice callback. It's a nice moment that we get to be like, oh yeah, that happened in Phantom Menace. But that happened in Duel, like, blah, blah, blah. So you see a duel on Mustafar and you're like, oh, okay, he did the high ground thing because Darth Maul had on him. He knows what it takes mm-hmm. to do it. So he knows Anakin's going to do that. That's a very long way of me talking. But I love how that comes back. And I just, this fight really doesn't overstay its welcome. I think I like it more than the duel on Mustafar.
Yeah, it focuses a lot more on them. And it just, it's a little bit more drawn out. You've got, what, 4 pieces of battle happening in this one at the same time.
Yeah.
So you never really get enough. It sort of leaves you wanting more. You get little bits and then you're excited to get back to what this one's doing. And then that one's blowing something up. And then this one's tricking somebody else and they've got blasters and oh my gosh.
I know we're only solely focusing on the lightsaber battle, but I do like watching Amidala, played by Natalie Portman, lead the charge and just lighten up robots. She has some good accuracy in that. And I dig it. And also poor Jake Lloyd. Makes me so mad that adults were so mad at him for playing Anakin. He's fun, right?
Yeah, he's a kid.
He's cute. He's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to spin.
Seems like he's a kid playing a kid.
Oh, there you are.
Shocking.
Yeah, I guess adults saw it. I love George Lucas talking about this movie. He's like, this is a movie for kids. Adults who love my movies are going to hate it.
You made an interesting comment there about the flip that Obi-Wan does at the end, right before he kills Darth Maul. And I read a bit about the logistics that went into that and how they were trying to figure out how to make it happen naturally, and they used an air cannon to blast him. But that was the one, I think that's the part they had to do in reverse.
Oh.
So they had to do it in reverse to make it happen, and then they had to mesh it with the pieces that weren't in reverse. It looks good. I mean, we've watched it several times now, and I think it looks fantastic.
And you know what I love? I'm so glad you told me that, too, because George Lucas goes into these things, I think, looking to push technology further, stunts further. He says it himself. He doesn't care about the script. He just wants it to look good. So he's taking a lot of chances, and I love the ingenuity in this fight.
I love the practicality. So, there are lots of graphics in these movies, obviously, but there's also lots of practicality in them as well. And another bit was when Obi-Wan falls down the levels, and he goes for we don't know exactly how many feet that is dropped. We know that the stunt man dropped 80 feet.
Wow.
Onto a 15-foot air mattress. And he said that wasn't that bad because he's done up to 200 or 250. But besides the point, when Obi-Wan was trying to pull himself back up, they couldn't find a natural way to do it. And they ended up putting wood blocks under him and lifting him up manually till he could get over the edge himself.
Huh.
It's just the practicality is so interesting. They didn't fake it. They didn't, pull him up and make it look. They wanted it to look natural, and they used real things to make that happen. So I think that's really fascinating.
But I love this one where, it kicks off at, 150, the hour and 50 minute marks, 30 seconds. Qui-Gon's like, we'll handle this. And then Amidala's like, we'll take the long way. Smart move. You don't want to mess with Darth Maul. Nobody wants to mess with Darth Maul. You have the double-sided lightsaber opening up, and then you have Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon busting out their lightsabers. It's just a great brawl. There's a story to it. You can follow it. Obi-Wan gets left behind. Qui-Gon has to fight Darth Maul. Darth Maul wins. There's just a really cool condensed storytelling in this short fight. It's wonderful.
Darth Maul pop to the face, backwards kick.
That's how Obi-Wan fun drops, and just the beefy backhand. Can I call it that from Liam Neeson?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I love the backhand on there.
You get the impenetrable energy doors.
Yeah. Those doors blow my mind.
You know what I really liked? I read something about the direction in that scene that they had to give him, both Darth Maul and Liam Neeson. And Liam Neeson, being the comprehensive actor that he is, took the moment. It was like a 20 or 30 second wait until the doors change. And he took it upon himself as an actor to make the decision to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
Center himself. That wasn't given to him. He came up with that. And Ray Park was like, what do I do with this? What am I supposed to do? And they told him, you know, like those tires at the zoo that are pacing back and forth in their cage? Think that and do that.
That's so awesome that you write that, because I wrote like a shark and like a tiger.
Yeah, that was the direction that they gave him, because he didn't know what to do, because he sees Liam Neeson being awesome, kneeling there looking like a badass. And
I wish I would have done that. He kneels too? No, you can't kneel too, Darth Maul.
We're both meditating.
Yeah, you kneel too. But no, I love that. He looks like a tiger. He looks like a shark. He's prowling. And I love that they all turn off their lightsabers to conserve lightsaber energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you don't want to slice yourself when you're meditating.
That's probably not a good idea.
No. But you know what, though? It's this fight tells a story. You have the mentor and the Padawan battling someone who's more powerful than them. They get split up. Right? You get the impenetrable energy shields splitting them up. You get you can tell that Qui-Gon knew he was done. I don't know. For me, when he meditated, when I first watched it, I'm like, he just knew he was out. Then you get the trickery by the Sith, and then eventually you get the victory from Obi-Wan, who does some trickery to get over him and kill him. It's just it tells a very simple story. It's elegant, I would say. It doesn't feel overly rehearsed.
No, it's beautiful. I mean, they're in, they're synchronized. They're doing a great flowing job.
One of the best things I think about lightsabers.
It's too fast to feel forced.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't feel cranked too. Like, it doesn't feel over cranked. like Jason Statham movie.
Oh my God.
But no, it's, what I do like is, one thing that I like about the lightsabers is that in a lot of films you have sword fights, and a lot of them are dummy swords, but they just look like dummy swords. Or they actually, some of them have some weight to them, so you aren't really fully connecting with a lot of the strikes. Mm-hmm. They don't look totally
real. Oh my gosh,
totally
did they
real.
Use real lightsabers?
So this one, you're using just aluminum poles. So you can sit there and whap each other as much as possible, because you're not slicing anybody in half with a real lightsaber.
I mean, that would be pretty intense.
If you had a real lightsaber battle, I would quit.
Wow.
I'd go start an
arborist. No, that would be too dangerous. Unions would revolt.
I'd go start an arborist business. Actually, I wouldn't want to cut down trees.
It would be cool if there were real lightsabers, though.
I would be like Edward Scissorhands and go make nice log statues. But it's... But he does shrubs. I do trees. But what I... I just... They're able to really hit. Those aluminum poles, you can whap, 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 whap. So you feel the force. You feel the pew, pew, pew. Like they're not...
They're really throwing their bodies into the motions.
They're not throwing hunks of metal at each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically metal. But they're not throwing heavy swords or fake swords that look cheap. These are people whapping each other with aluminum poles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps with the realness of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not hitting each other with those chimney things that are next to your chimney, those metal
things. A bunch
things.
Of men dueling for the fate of Anakin Skywalker.
I mean, Darth Maul, through his very minimum amount of screen time, I have it here. I think he only has, let me see here. So, Ray Park, there are a few characters in the history of cinema as instantly iconic as Darth Maul. I mean,
he has a great look.
People saw that trailer and they just went, love him. And he only has three lines of dialogue and a total of just 34 words spoken. So I know he does pop up later in the Clone Wars and Solo, but in this film, only 34 words. And I think Darth Maul is one of the rarer characters that isn't seen on screen long.
Less is more.
Less is more. It's just so mysterious and mean. And he has horns in his head.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. It's just a whole visual thing, you know. He's got the hood on sometimes. He's got the dark robes. He just has this great look. Even those scary teeth when he... Yeah. Occasionally opens his mouth. It's just awful.
I mean, I think Ray Park did a really good job just capturing the evil of the character. And this, I thought that the thing, hey, walk like a tiger, be intimidating.
Yeah, just the malice in him.
And I mean, they also were lucky enough this scene to, I think this is where the movie flourishes too, because you have Natalie Portman running with a gun looking happy. You have Annie blowing things up. And then you have Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson, two excellent actors, pulling across the physicality. They're not restrained with the dialogue or in front of these screens.
Oh,
they're,
that's true.
They're in it. So you feel like this is when they're at their best. I get goosebumps just saying it. This is when they're at their best, though, is during this fight, because they're not going, oh, the force is full of this and that, and I want some nachos. Like, they're...
Oh, yeah, I want some nachos.
Midi-chlorians on them. But then you
which I don't really have a problem with.
I love Star Wars, you know me, but none of it's ever changed my life. But it's, I just think the physicality, the action, they're able to move. This is when they're at their best.
So I like what Dave Filoni had to say during the Mandalorian behind the scenes show that you can watch on Disney Plus. He had a lot to say about the fact that it was the fight for Anakin's fate. And it's really about family because Qui-Gon could have been, they took him away from his mother. That was very upsetting. Qui-Gon believed that love was still possible for Jedi, that you didn't have to just take it away from people. And he was going to be that father figure. And then they take him away. So ultimately, this is a story about hope. And then you have Luke coming in later, who brings Anakin back into himself to fight for his own family. And ultimately, Luke is never willing to give up love, which is something, as opposed to what happens to Anakin later on. So these are stories in the long run about family and hope. Wow. And I thought that was really great. And I wanted to propose something to you. Do you think that somewhere in this universe, the Fast and the Furious people exist? Because it's about family and hope. Come on.
So it's a long time ago, but Dom's immortal.
All we need is barbecue.
Dom is going to come flying by in the next movie that we see
Dom's
in a car.
Dom's going to have blue milk.
Whoa.
What?
Just listening to Pitbull?
The Star Wars Fast and Furious expanded universe.
Yeah.
I think it's all the greatest things ever.
Oh, man. I would lose it. And then if a genetically modified shark pops out.
Oh, man.
Jeez,
I mean, they probably exist somewhere out there.
All right. Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Oh, no. I love it. Let's do them all.
Yeah, I'm in. Because, I mean, I just love exploring how much work they put into this. But this
was
fun.
It's truly a lot of fun diving into just the direction of just these scenes and the talent and the caliber of, you know, stunt work that these people have done for decades. It's just fantastic.
It's stressful, though, researching these because there's so much. But it's also a thrill because, you know, it's interesting. We're very lucky that there's so much out there. But then in a 20-minute, 25-minute episode, it's tough
cover
to pack
it all
in. Yeah, but I think we got it. And this was fun. So thank you for joining me.
Impenetrable energy doors.
Oh, I love those.
I need some in our house.
Trap the cats when they're fighting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me.
Anytime.
All right. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Megan Hoffmeyer, this is Final Fights. We'll see you next week.